What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 107. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going, with me today is Derek. What's up, Derek?
Yo, not much.
Just hanging out. Oh, whoa, something just fell off my desk. Yeah. I have so much stuff on my desk right now, it's like insane. It needs cleaned really bad.
I feel like that just happens to you like really quickly because you're so often tearing down and building up systems that you just
have stuff everywhere. The main desk has a ton of stuff, like little stuff that I'm reviewing, like these SSDs and all this. And then the other desk, like the work desk, has like a ton of parts on it for like systems. So it's just a mess over here, but we're getting stuff done, so I'm pretty happy about that. But yeah, let's just jump into reviews this week. We didn't do a podcast last week, so I want to talk about some of the products we took a look at last week. And that is starting with the Silverstone Redline RL06 Pro case. And this is a really good case. I really like it. It's like $75. And it comes with four included fans, which is really good for $75. Typical mid-tower. It's going to fit all of the latest hardware and all of that kind of stuff. Has room for SSDs on the backside of the motherboard tray. Full window in the side. The front kind of has vents on it, but there's red LED fans in the front, so gives it that cool look without spending a lot of money on case or like buying a decent case and then getting, you need extra LED fans or extra RGB strips. This kind of has everything there together.
It's just something. I mean, that like traditionally and historically was like the earmark of a cheap case was, yeah, the case is cheap, but you're gonna spend more eventually anyways, and you're gonna spend just as much as you would have on a more expensive case just to properly fill it out with fans and accessories.
Yeah, so this is pretty much like ready to go. Like three fans in the front, one in the rear. It's a really well made case. Installation is easy. Has a PSU cover. Like I said, that full window. If you're looking to kind of save a little bit on a case, this is one that will help you out, or you can put that money towards a better graphics card, better SSD, better memory, things like that.
I think a first-time PC builder, as much as I love case modding and all that, I think that you should probably save on the case.
It's
probably the most important, well, not the most important, but it's really important to read reviews on, because you can get a decent case and still save money, so long as you're properly, reading around and checking the internet for what you should get.
Yeah, and the thing that's good about this one is, a lot of first-time PC builders, even just PC builders in general, kind of want that little bit of bling on their case, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those three front fans, they not only give you proper cooling, proper intake cooling, but they also give you, the ones on this version are red LED fans, so you have that really cool look in the front of your case without, having to spend extra money on certain fans or on, RGB strips or something like that. They offer it in red and blue versions, so you can kind of pick which one you want.
Go with one or the other. And then I'm sure Silverstone sells those same fans, so you can add more if you want.
Yes, for sure. So it's just a good case. There's not a whole lot to write home about as far as like other features. It's pretty much your standard case, right? But for, right around $75, it's a really good deal. And I think that, again, a lot of people are kind of looking for that deal and looking to put their money towards other things in a build. So this kind of gets you started. And I like it.
Yeah, definitely. And you definitely should. I mean, you want the best components you can get, to kind of start from something. And then maybe down the road you upgrade the case. So this is a great place to start.
Yeah, and the installation went really easy. I really didn't run into any issues. The only real issue, or not even an issue, but one thing that I did have is that on the backside of the motherboard tray, there's tons of tie-down points, but there's no zip ties included with the case.
No?
No, none.
That seems like a $1 item they could have thrown in there.
Yeah, that was kind of, if you're... Again, I have like a ton of zip ties here because I just have them. I just bought a big pack at Walmart one day.
Yeah.
For all the stuff that I do. So I have them here, so it wasn't a big deal. But for, again, first-time builder, you want to clean your cables and make sure everything's nice and neat. And you would think that there'd be like five or six, zip ties included, but they're not. Yeah, so it's kind of a bummer.
The big bummer part for first timers is that, you know, you're not going, you're going to sit down and you're going to build, and you're not going to really realize that you don't have the things until you get to needing it, and then you don't have it. So that's,
yeah,
that's a disappointment.
Oh, and one other thing about this case that I didn't mention, it does have a 10-port fan hub on it, on the back side of the motherboard tray as well.
Is it PWM or is it just powered?
I believe it's just powered.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it is, it's another thing, another, you know, all your fans are centrally located, and you have the extra fan ports when you're going to go ahead and add more fans as well.
Yep.
So it's like I said, there's a lot of value in this case, and it's not a bad case, and, you know, $75, there you go. So it's definitely a case that I would recommend for a first-time builder or any builder who wants to put their money elsewhere. I think this is a great case, so.
Cool.
So yeah, so definitely check out that review, and we have a keyboard here that is very unique and very interesting, and it's one of the most unique keyboards I think I've ever reviewed. It's the ASIO Retro Classic, and it's a mechanical keyboard that's sort of retro, and the one that I received is steampunk themed, and it is just awesome. They're doing this as, I think, either a Kickstarter or a... I think it's on Indiegogo, actually.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's on Indiegogo. And it was like, it's already massively funded. It's over, like, last time I checked, I'm going to go through right now. It's 1,171% funded.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it
sold
looks...
a few of them.
Yeah, they sold a lot of these. And the quality on this keyboard, I don't even... It's sort of hard to describe. So it's a normal 104-key layout keyboard, full number pad, full complement of keys. But the keys themselves are circular, sort of like an old-school typewriter. That's the kind of feel of this keyboard. Even the space bar is sort of circular, and all of like your shift key and your caps lock, it's all circular. Looks really cool. Now, there's three different versions. The version that we have is sort of steampunk themed, so all of the keys actually have this chrome, or like a goldish...
It's like a metal band.
Yeah, sort of like a copper.
It's like rose gold, isn't it?
Yeah, like rose gold or copper surrounding it. And the entire keyboard is actually surrounded in this copper. And it just gives a really cool look to it. And then the top plate of the keyboard is made up of leather, black leather. And it just looks really, really, really cool. I would say go to our review and check it out. It is just... awesome keyboard, and it's really heavy, it's really well made, and these are mechanical key switches, so you're still going to get that really nice feel of a mechanical keyboard on this as well. And the keys are backlit too, no software or anything like that to do lighting modes, but there are a few different lighting modes that you can set on the keyboard itself, like breathing and like that ghost mode. Yeah, you can do some of that kind of stuff in here.
Expected that.
Yeah, so
is it just white LEDs?
Yeah, it's just white LEDs. But I think that this is a very unique product, and I think that, I mean, just showing by the Indiegogo campaign, people want it.
I'd say it's an office keyboard, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say, like, this is a gaming keyboard by any means. Just for the fact that even though we do see gaming keyboards come out without software, the biggest thing is this does not have software. And the circular keys are not...
It doesn't look optimal at all.
It's not... Yeah, it's not optimal for gaming. The keyboard layout, as far as where the keys sit, is not optimal for gaming. All the keys sit at the exact same level, and that is not optimal for gaming. If you've ever used a gaming keyboard or read our reviews, we actually show you how the keys sit in all the keyboards we reviewed, and this is just, they're all at the same level, and that's not optimal for gaming at all. Again, there's no macros, and at the same time, there's no software, as I mentioned. So, not a gaming keyboard, but something cool to have in your office. Maybe you have like a studio where you have like an editing rig, you know, for Premiere or something. This is just going to look really, really cool on your desk.
Yeah, I think there's somebody that finds that they enjoy like a Chiclet key style keyboard, like what comes with Macs or whatever. That they would probably enjoy this one just because it's flat.
Yeah, and you're going to get a much better experience, in my opinion, than that style keyboard because you do have mechanical keys. These are Kale blue switches, I believe. Mm-hmm. But one thing they did is ASIO worked directly with Kale, and the actual LED is on the top of the Switch, right in, right centered in the middle of the Switch. So typically on the Switch, the LED is on the top or the bottom. But to get the best shine through the circular keycaps, they actually redesigned the Switch so the LED is directly on the top. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I've sat down a lot with this, and it's a really high-quality keyboard. It's really, really well-made, and it's more or less like a functional piece of art that would be sitting on your computer desk. So
definitely,
yeah, I think that's it's just awesome. And they actually have three different designs. So ours, the one that's kind of steampunk themed, is the retro classic artisan, and then they have a retro classic onyx, which is sort of like a black on black, and then they have a retro classic posh, which is white with sort of a either like a pinkish gold or like a rose gold accent. So all three of those, and right now on Indiegogo you can get both of the, there's a USB version and there's a Bluetooth version, so you can get the USB version of the keyboard for $120, and then there's a Bluetooth version you can get for $140. So I think it's worth it. I think that this is, again, a very unique product, and it's a very functional product as well when it comes to typing and doing other tasks like that. So super cool, and I wish it was like a sort of like a gaming style keyboard, because I do enjoy that more. I would have kept it on my desk, but it's just for the functionality that I use.
It's not gonna do much for you.
But if I had somewhere like a office or something, and when somebody first walked in to see that, I think that would be super cool. So yeah, really, really cool. Definitely check out our review, and we do have our video review up on YouTube as well of this product. So definitely check that out.
Sweet.
Yes. So those were last week's reviews, and then this week we have our first X299 motherboard, and it comes in the form of the MSI X299 SLI Plus, and this is pretty much MSI's entry-level or beginner X299 motherboard. And we've reviewed their other SLI Pluses boards in the past, and basically the whole idea of this series, and these are part of the Pro series, is to give you all of the core features of whatever platform it may be without all the extra gimmicks, not to say gimmicks, but all the extra crazy stuff that you really don't need, and most people, to be honest, really don't need.
I would just say that it's that most people don't need it.
Yeah.
It's not really extra, it's not really a gimmick, it's just most people don't utilize this part, those features.
Yeah, totally. You know, because again, these X299 boards can go up to $500. And again, not a lot of people want to spend that on a board. And two, not a lot of people are going to use everything that's on those boards. So this is where this board comes in. And it kind of gives you everything. Like, you know, you have proper DDR4 support. You have two M.2 slots. You have U.2. You know, you have everything in this board.
All the standard features.
All of these standard features that you would want properly laid out. Really good looking board. And it actually has RGB LEDs on it, which I don't even feel are necessary on this board, really.
Probably not at all.
But they are on there. They're on the PCH heatsink as well as the heatsink that covers your power delivery components. And of course, those are customizable through the MSI Mystic Light app. Really easy to use, but I feel, again, they're not really that necessary. But I think we've come to the point where, like, that's just standard these days. And you get, I believe it's either one or two RGB headers as well. So if you get an RGB strip, you can connect it to that header, and then you can control everything through your MSI Mystic Light software. So it has a really good audio solution as well. Dual LAN, you know, it has pretty much everything you'd want. And it's not that expensive. I think it's just over $200, I believe.
Nice. The only thing that I would say you might be missing is the power delivery system isn't quite as robust as some of the more expensive systems.
True.
Very expensive boards. As far as like basic level kind of things, you know, obviously you're not getting other features, but that's just the one thing that's probably a little bit lower, and but probably not something that you are going to be missing either if you're buying a board at this level.
Yeah, I think that if you're buying a board at this level and say you're using this board for video editing, photo editing, creating, I don't think you're going to be doing any overclocking anyways.
No, most people aren't.
Yeah, so I think that this is a great board to build that type of workstation, or where your your GPU is going to be doing a lot of the lifting as well. You know, you do have dual GPU support on this, and those slots are metal shielded as well, and they're spaced properly, so you can do two. Actually, you can do 2 3 slot cards in this if you really wanted to. Yeah. So there's that much space in this.
Get those big coolers in there.
Yeah, so it's good. You have USB 3.1, of course. It has everything. Every normal feature that you would want is good. BIOS is good. It's the same one they used before, which is the Click BIOS 5 they've been using for a while, which I like.
Yep,
that's good.
Yeah, so it's like everything is just really, really good on this board. It's like the price is $229 right now online.
So that puts you, what's your bottom line to get into X, $299 then?
I think it's right around there. Let me look at the price. So this competes with, say, the Asus X299A, I believe it is.
Gotcha.
Let's see. The X299A from Asus is $300. At least on Amazon.
Okay. Let's
see what it is on Newegg. But
it'll be close, though.
Yeah, so Newegg, I mean, this is a pretty good value. Again, I honestly didn't find anything really wrong with this board. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Asus Prime X299A is $309 on Newegg and $299 on Amazon.
Okay, so this was $229, and then with the 7800X is probably the lowest real X299 chip.
Yes.
So that's $389. So $500-$600.
And you got to put your DDR4 in there.
Of course, which is probably $100 right now minimum.
I would say a little bit more. Well, if you could do a
this is a 2-channel kit. $700-$800 plus obviously all the other things, but I would say though that the $600, because you're going to be buying DDR4 for whatever platform you get, right?
Yes.
So $600 isn't crazy far off from, you know, just going mainstream.
Yeah, I think that's...
If you're doing the editing stuff, right?
Yeah. The big thing we talk about, we've been talking about workstations a lot lately, because in all honesty, that's what really the X299 platform is made for. It's really made for workstations. I know a lot of you guys want to get into these for gaming machines, but it's just not there yet as far as taking advantage of all of those processor cores that you have, like Z270 or even like the normal Ryzen system. X370 would be fine for gaming.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're looking to... Go ahead.
Yeah, well, like high-end desktop kind of actually is going to actually set you back a little bit on the gaming front. Because you really want faster cores.
Yes.
So, and these are, you know, they're not, there's more cores, and so they're not naturally going to be able to get as fast.
Correct.
At right now, you know.
So. Yeah. But if you're doing multi-core stuff in coding, rendering, you know, that kind of stuff, even high-end audio rendering, this is a great platform for it. You know. We don't have Threadripper stuff yet because it comes out on the 10th, so we can't really tell you the difference. But this, if you know, this is the high end, and this has been Intel's high end desktop platform has been the high end platform for creators for the longest time. So, and this is just the next generation, and I believe this is a great entry level board, and it's going to give you all the features that you want at a really great price. I didn't realize the Asus board was that expensive.
Yeah, and I would guess that it's not giving you anything that you're missing. Like you're not.
It has a couple other cool things, like again, things you don't need. Like I believe that board has that little LED display, or not LED, like the little display that shows you your postcodes,
It's semi handy sometimes, but you can usually. I mean, you can actually always get that information from Beeps or whatever too. So.
Yeah. Let me see. I don't know what the entry level gigabyte board is. I'm gonna try to find it. So X299 UD4. Let me look at how much that one is. Cause like, again, these are the three big, you know.
Yeah.
X299 UD4 is $248.99, and okay, I haven't even looked at that board, which I would assume it would have almost the same features. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right around the same. So.
What about... Who else is there that might have one cheaper?
I don't believe that... I don't know what the EVGA boards start at.
Yeah.
And they're usually... So... It doesn't even come up on Amazon when I type in EVGA
X299. Azrock has one for $229.
Yeah. I believe they would all have a right around the same feature set. So I think when it comes to that, it comes down to what you actually need and if you have brand loyalty to any of these brands. I think it's what it comes down to. But again, for a good entry level board, this is a great one. And it performed great in all of our tests. It got some good overclocking out of it as well. And just has everything. So
nice.
Yes. So finally, we'll wrap up our reviews with a very basic product, but it solves two problems with a single product, and that's why I actually wanted to review it. It is the Unitech USB 3.0 Hub Plus Card Reader. Do you have a card reader?
Of course.
I assume you do. So if you're doing any type of photography or videography, you're not transferring photos from your camera to your PC or Mac or whatever it may be with the camera. Almost all of the cameras use a USB 2.0 controller in their in part of the camera, and it just the file transfer is slow. Say you're doing a lot of work and it's just easier to use a card reader because you can pop out the card, start transferring your files, and go back to shooting, and then you'd like swap cards that way. So a card reader is just, if you do any type of anything like that, card reader is just essential to have. I have a few here, plus this one obviously, but this one gives you something else too. This gives you a three-port USB, true USB 3.0 hub, which is good because a lot of us, I don't know where your PC sits, mine sits kind of off to the side of my desk on this little stand, and if I'm in the middle of working and I have something on a flash drive, I don't want to have to get up and plug it in, or if I need to test a mouse real quick, I can just plug this right in there. So this solves two things at once, and
that's a fair item, actually.
I think it's $25. Really good price there as well.
A little bit more than a standard card reader,
but... yeah, a little bit more than a card reader. The only thing I don't like about it is the USB connection on it is the larger type B USB 3.0 type B.
Yeah.
Which this just the reason I don't like it is the cables are not as common as the other ones that you see in other devices, so that's the only issue. But it's just a cool little device. I mean, it's like, you would think this is so simple, like why are you reviewing this, but it's like, it just solves two problems right there. So I don't need a USB hub and a USB card reader. I just have one device that does both. And it's really small and portable too, so you can throw it in a laptop bag if you're going to be using it with a laptop. And if you're using a Ultrabook or something like that does not have multiple USB ports, this is going to be awesome for you. Because you get those three extra USB ports along with the card reader.
Cool. So,
really, really cool. It's $21.99. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a good price.
Yeah, so I feel that's a really great price for what you're getting. So. Very, very cool. So those are our reviews for this week, guys, and we'll jump into our articles this week. And since it is the beginning of August, it feels like summer's flying by. We have our 20 of the worst PC setups article, and of course this article celebrates the want of people to be gaming and computing, even if their setup is crap or they're in between moving, they just want to get set up and get online and whatever that means to you, whether it's gaming, whether it's being on Reddit, whether it's...
Just get back to normal.
Yeah, right? Just get back to your PC. So we collect 20 photos of people who have submitted online or wherever we can find them of just really bad PC setups. And we have some pretty good ones this month. Some of them are just funny. Some of them are people moving. Some people just don't know how to clean.
Some people just need that $70 case you reviewed that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, some of these cases are really bad as well. Some of the setups. Some people are in closets. Like, they just want, like, you know what I mean? Like, they had nowhere to set up, so they set up in a closet. This guy said his desk broke and he's using an ironing board for a dual monitor display on an ironing board, which is pretty awesome. And then he has, it looks like a, sort of like a TV tray that you would, you know, like eat food on for his keyboard. And then looks like another one for his mouse. And pretty large mouse pad there. Just some really, really cool stuff on this. It's always really good to see these. I have personally been there. I've moved multiple times, and the first thing I want to do before I set up anything in my house is set up my PC. Or if I'm moving, I don't break my PC down until the last minute, so it's like sitting on boxes or whatever. You know, because I always have, I always have to be connected. So. So yeah, definitely check that article. It's one of my favorite articles we do each month. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And this is where we celebrate a case mod or build that's been completed in the community. And this week we have just, I would say this is just amazing. This is called T900 Scarif. And I don't know if, actually I should probably Google. I meant to Google Scarif, and that's actually from a TV show or something.
It's from something else. It's not related to Terminator.
Is it?
No. This also isn't a... It's not a T900. This is like a T1. Gotta say. I don't understand the name.
It's based off of the Thermal Take Tower 900. The T900. From Okay. This is not a scratch build.
That makes more sense. Gotcha.
Isn't that pretty impressive? This is not
a
scratch build.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So this is kind of themed like a little... robot with guns on the side, and actually the barrels of those guns are reservoirs if you look from the back.
Oh, nice.
It is just...
It looks really good.
Yes.
Like, really good. It looks like a killer robot that's hunting down human beings.
That's why I was actually really surprised that it's not a scratch build.
Yeah.
Like, they took the case apart, no doubt, but it's based on the case. They, like... And it's the water cooling is really cool, and it's all Thermaltake water cooling parts, which is kind of cool. This was an entry in the Thermaltake Case Mod World Series. So yeah, just a cool build.
This is what Thermaltake case is this?
The T900, or the Tower 900?
Tower 900.
Yeah, Tower 900, which has been like cut, pretty much cut down to size and.
It looks nothing like it.
I don't think I linked the build log, but if you Google the T900 Scarif, you can find the build log and you can see where he cut it and did all that kind of stuff. But
how did they do in the contest?
I don't know.
Like, as cool as it is, I don't think as a judge I would like give it to him, because it's so not the case anymore.
That is true. So if you were trying to, I know Cooler Master did it with theirs. They separated their
categories.
Yeah, what is Cooler Masters is called the Case Mod World Series, correct? I believe it's what they call it. But anyways, separated the categories into like scratch build, into like case build, I forget how they did it, but that's kind of how Cooler Master did it. I don't know if Thermaltake's doing the same thing.
In that instance, that would make sense.
Yeah, totally. But I just think this really looks like a killer robot. Like,
it does.
I think,
it absolutely does.
And it's a fully functional computer, and a pretty bad. I mean, pretty good system too. It's Intel Core i7-7700K, a GTX 1070 Strix, ASUS Maximus 9 code, and 16 gigs DDR4, a M.2 SSD, and then all of the Thermaltake water cooling. Really cool.
Nice. I like the fan pods up in the corners, kind of on the shoulders.
Yeah.
Just blowing some air down onto the top of the motherboard. It's cool.
Yeah, I think it just looks cool.
These are, these are totally in a different like category of like appreciation for me. These like model builds. I don't know.
This is almost a scratch build, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a.
Yeah, but it's like, a themed scratch build.
Themed builds, I guess. Yeah, totally what I'm thinking of. It's there's a time like there are two different things, you know.
Correct.
Entirely, it's the appreciation is different. So this is really cool. It's a little different feel than your standard
case. Correct. Oh, 100% correct.
Yep.
But I'm actually surprised where he placed in that, or if this even finished. I'm not sure. But it is a really cool build. This is from Tantric Mods, who I don't think we've ever featured on Case on Friday either. Him. Yeah. So great build. It looks cool. So yeah, definitely check that out. As I always say, we have a ton of these builds. We've been doing this for so long, so we have so many of these builds just in our Case Mod Friday section. So definitely check that out.
Can probably overwhelm you at this point with how many we have.
Yes, we have so many. So that brings us to our news for this week, and of course, the big news this week is that Vega was finally announced. Mm-hmm. Well, sort of. Sigraf was over this past weekend, and we have two Radeon graphics cards, technically three. So we have a RX Vega 56, and basically that's made to compete with the GTX 1070, and we have a RX Vega 64, and that's made to compete with 1080 Ti, something mm-hmm. like that. And that will come in both an air-cooled version and a liquid-cooled version. Air-cooled version will be $599, whereas the liquid-cooled version will be $699. Mm. And then the RX Vega, the 56, will be $499.
Man, $600 seems like a bit much. $100 for a water cooler?
Yeah.
I mean, dude, you can get a 120mm water cooler for, like, what? $40-$50 nowadays. I know, don't jump on me. The block and everything is super custom. It just seems like a lot. Seems like a pretty big premium to go to an AIO.
The AIOs are like $80, aren't they?
$120?
Like a Corsair, what is it, the ADI or something like that? Okay. Yeah, I mean, Corsair. I
said $60, $70?
Corsair HydroSphere HADI V2 is $92.
That's a much more performance than I think you're going to. This looks like a just a hold on. Let me find an example for you here. Sorry, I was not prepared for
this. This is dual fanned, I believe. I believe this is dual fanned.
Yeah, but it's a thin.
Yeah, like, it is a thin radiator.
It's a little. Yeah, I'm not impressed by $100 for it. I gotta say.
Yeah, you would think that
you can buy a water block.
Yeah, you would think that AMD would be able to subsidize that price a little bit. Yep. Like instead of so it's what $499 or it's $599. You could do $649 instead of $699.
I thought it was five. I'm sorry. Where's the pricing?
At the bottom of the article.
Very bottom. Oh, okay. Oh, so. $699. Yeah, and $700. That's just. See, I think $600 for like a 1080. Essentially, I'm just not comparing performance, but like 1080 level part, right?
Yeah.
That's the top end, in my opinion. It's a $600. Going to $700 as you're starting to move towards TI and Titan stuff.
Yeah, and we haven't seen any direct comparisons yet because obviously this card is not out yet.
Yeah, but I don't think performance matters. That's just the way the pricing structure is built, right?
Yeah.
So. I don't know.
I think we've been saying that about this card forever. We're like, I don't know.
There's so many things.
Okay, I think we really can't talk about it because we don't have real reviews, right?
It's got to have monster performance, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's got to have more than monster performance because, dude, NVIDIA's next generation is just around the corner. It's not beating 1080 parts. It's got to beat whatever, 1180 parts? Whatever they want to call them.
Yeah, whatever the next generation is.
Yeah. Otherwise, it'll just be just like Fury.
Yeah.
This feels just like Fury, does it not?
Sort of.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? Talking about that, AMD also announced a Radeon RX Vega Nano, which I'm a huge fan of. I love the form factor.
Super cool.
Yeah, so this looks sort of almost like the R9 Nano, which when we talked about it on the podcast, I was super pumped about it.
You were like ready to actually purchase one.
Yeah, like I liked it. I like the form. I love the small form factor. I like being able to have this box, this small cube box that I can take to a LAN and just play games at the resolution I want to play them at and have great performance and be very powerful. We don't know a whole lot about this card. It was presented at SIGGRAPH and it will have a 150 watt TDP. It has 8-pin PCI Express power connector. It's good not to see a 6-pin on these because I feel that they would run into the issues that they had in the past. And it has almost the same kind of design. So it, except for it has the circular fan in the center of the card, and it's not a blow. Go ahead.
Was it towards the end on the other one?
Yeah, so it's a blower style fan.
Okay.
And this is an axial style fan on this one. So much like
kick it out the bottom then.
Yeah, so much like we saw at basically almost the same design except for redesigned for Vega here. So it's much like the R9 Nano design.
Yeah, very similar. Man, yeah, so, a sweet little block on this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And a cool block where you could make it a single slot.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, single, space yeah. savings here.
Yeah.
It's just got to perform.
Yeah, I could. It would be awesome to see a great, you know, Case Mod Friday with a small, because we featured really small builds on Case Mod Friday.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
this in it, you know, you could AMD it out with either. I don't believe there's going to be any Threadripper ITX ports because there's no room.
No,
but like a Ryzen, I know that ASRock has the mini ITX port.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that with this. Everything water cooled, you know. I'm thinking like a SNEF or the GGF LAN party guys could put something together like real small.
Yeah. Something custom.
You know, silver and red design like we see here. Man.
Did with use a riser card or ribbon strip, move it away from the board. You can have them kind of parallel with each other and like they take up no space whatsoever.
Yeah, this is it's a cool little card. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't for me. If as long as this performs up to a 1070,
oh, I think it's got to be 1080.
I would say in between 1070, like better than 1070, maybe a little bit under 1080. I'd be
okay,
happy.
I'll give you that. Yeah, I'll give
you know because that's 1440p at highest settings, right?
Yeah.
You know, but again, we do have 1080 minis, but they're not this small. They're a little bit longer than this.
Cost has to be right too.
Yeah, cost has to be right on this too. So we don't know. We have all the pictures in our article. It looks awesome. I want at least one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
As I said, I get super excited about these small cards. So,
am I just ignorant? The small SFF network? I never heard of it.
Never heard of them.
But they brought us this news.
Small formfactor.net. Never heard of them. This is where this article came from. Apparently, they were at the event where this was launched. There was actually three separate events from AMD at SIGGRAPH. You had the Vega event. You had this Vega Nano event. And you had the Threadripper stuff, which we'll talk about just in a little bit. So there's those three events at SIGGRAPH. So a lot of AMD stuff this past weekend.
Nice.
So, yeah. Talking about that, it looks like, and this makes sense, in an interview with Gamers Nexus, AMD confirmed that with the new Radeon RX family graphics cards, that they do support Crossfire. But
like,
AMD
like for
won't...
now, kind of, right?
I mean, they do. They're going to support Crossfire, so you can run two of them. But AMD is not going to allocate as many resources as it used to with the older GPU launches and promoting it as well as supporting it. And this makes sense. NVIDIA has really toned down. Again, we only have dual SLI with NVIDIA on their new cards. That's what they support. And it looks like AMD is, you know, while Crossfire is supported, it's just not something they're really promoting. I know there will be support there, but see how long, you know, that goes as well.
I'm disappointed. I don't ever want to see dual GPU support go away.
I don't think dual GPUs will go away. I just don't think it's as big of a deal. Because if you remember, before GeForce 10 series, you were doing doing four-way SLI. And,
yeah, I've done it. Yeah.
Yeah, all this kind of stuff. So for this, you know, once NVIDIA did it, and now we have AMD kind of toning it down, we're just kind of coming to that point where the tech is powerful enough and we don't need all of that. Even though it's awesome. It is awesome. I just don't think it's needed.
I don't actually think the tech is powerful enough. Honestly, like, it's close, but no single card really gives you everything you need for 4K. Like, there's always, like, the bleeding edge and you gotta have that dual GPU availability.
Yes. And this leads us to believe that there will not be a dual GPU card directly from AMD.
Yeah.
Just because...
Oh, yeah, if they're not moving towards it, they certainly aren't working on that card.
Which is kind of sad. Well, at least there won't be a dual GPU in the Radeon family. We could see it in either the Radeon Pro or the other line, which I forget what that's called, with their, you know, their...
Instinct?
Yeah, their Instinct stuff. So, you know, I like dual GPU stuff. It's just cool. So
it looks way better, for one thing. Like, yeah. I don't know. There's a symmetry to it in the case, and it takes up that extra dead space on the lower half of the motherboard. I love the way it looks.
Yeah.
I actually love a good tri and a good quad, but, you know, those are...
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, you know, doing Case on Friday, we rarely see anything over two GPUs anymore. We just don't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, everybody's running modern equipment, so.
Yeah.
You know.
So, yeah. And also talking about Vega, we have talked about this for forever. We were like, why is Vega taking so long? What's the delay? Yeah. We should have saw it at Computex. We should have saw it at E3. Like, when is this coming out? I mean, we had talked about it forever. And in an interview with HardOCP, AMD Chris Hook from AMD said that the reason it was delayed, they want to have enough stock in for gamers who want to purchase it at launch, meaning they want to allocate enough of you know, have as many as possible.
They want enough for everyone, right?
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
I'm not buying it either.
I think that they want to, and I don't blame them, they want to clear out their stock with this mining thing, right?
I think they have, because you can't, like, you literally can't buy a graphics card right now, because I was trying to get a 1070 to do some testing here, because I don't have one. I have every other 10 series card from NVIDIA. Yeah. I can't find one at normal price.
Even from NVIDIA?
I can't get it. I mean, you can't buy them. Everything's sold out. Like, if you go on Amazon or you go on Newegg, like, everything is literally sold out. And then you go to, like, you can buy off third-party buyers, you know, from both on Amazon and Newegg, and they're, like, two or three times the price. And if you go on eBay, it's the same thing. It's so hard to find these cards. This mining thing is really making it hard for gamers to get, and it's going to make it hard. Our next article, this kind of leads us right into it, is the mining performance on the Vega is supposed to be very, very good. It's supposed to be super high, almost double the performance of Vega Frontier Edition, which has been out, you know. And for that, I mean, that's just going to make this card, I think that if this is true, and these are all rumors that we have in our article about it, if this is true, this is going to be the most, and because it's going to be more power efficient than the previous architecture, which makes that even better for mining, and the fact that it's actually, it could in fact actually perform better at mining than a 1080 Ti. This will be the card to get for mining.
And then there just won't be any available.
You know, these mining companies, that's what they do, or, you know, hard people who are heavily invested in mining are gonna buy. You know, you know, whenever they go on
they'll
Amazon,
have cash on hand when it launches.
Yeah, they'll have cash to buy it. They'll buy, you know, 10 at a time off Amazon of different accounts. Like, they'll get them because this is where they make money. I mean, that's just kind of how you do it. I think that as soon as this hits, we'll be covering stories saying it's sold out everywhere. I don't see why not.
Yeah, I think it's a money issue, not a. I think they're just building up. I mean, they waited long enough to completely clear out old stock, which is great for them, and then they've built up stock, so they'll sell that all out too.
Yeah, I mean, like, literally no graphics card. It's very hard to find anything over a 1060 and above, and like RX 480 and above. Anything
that you can actually game on.
Anything like that and above is so hard to find right now, and like when they get them in on Amazon, they like instantly sell out. There'll be like three available or whatever, you know what I mean? My best guess, you know, go to find a local PC shop that might have some, you know, in your town or whatever,
if you still have one.
Yeah, and literally buy all of them. and then resell them because you'll make money.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's...
Go to your Micro Center and clear it out.
I think they're all sold out, too.
Oh, they're, like pre-order sold out?
Yeah, everything's sold out, believe me. It's been like that for almost a month now. Yeah. So, that's the reason that they're giving, as we said, you know, to make more inventory. We'll see. We'll see if there's actually a lot of inventory. That'd be nice if I could go on launch day to Amazon and pick one up.
Yeah.
You know, if I wanted one, so... So, talking about Vegas, this is our last Vegas story, is that EK Water Blocks is, of course, releasing a full cover water block for the Radeon RX Vega, and it turns it into a single slot.
Nice.
Yes. You know, you'll have four different material choices. It is, you know, EK is, I would say they're the standard for water blocks for graphics cards, and water blocks in general now. They are the standard, so... this card looks really good. The only thing I don't like about this full cover card that they do have is that it does not come with a backplate. You have to buy a backplate extra. And so the water blocks are... The water blocks, they start at $109.95, and the backplates are either... The nickel backplate is $37.95, and the other backplate... But it just says black. Just black, I guess. I guess it's $29.95. These are EU prices, so it's a little bit different because they didn't have the... I didn't read the conversion, but
it's a bit more again, I believe, for US pricing. Yeah.
So, but these will fit, of course, the Frontier Edition, which has been announced, and then the RX Vega 64 and the RX Vega 56. And these, you can pre-order them, and they'll start shipping the 14th of August. So. Almost in about a week.
Yeah. And it's nearly standard pricing. That nickel backplate, that's a little expensive.
Yeah.
For a backplate. You know, I was noticing too, the Nano or the new Nano does not have a backplate. Do the other ones have backplates?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I know the Nano doesn't because we saw those pictures. I'm not sure about the other. Let me see if I can.
Picture doesn't the back. Look like. Maybe it does.
I think it does. I'm almost positive it does.
It looks like there's a sliver along the top from the top view.
Yeah, because it... Why is there no picture? Like, I just... Oh, yeah, there is a backplate on it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that's... So, yeah, again, for me...
Yeah.
If the car does have the backplate, you would want the matching backplate from EK. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, not only that, but usually the backplate doesn't work anymore. Because it can't be attached.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of a bummer. But, yeah. But EK was the first to announce. I'm sure we'll see all of the other companies follow suit for sure. Because again, it's going to be one sought after card, and we'll see a lot of builds, new builds with this card for sure.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yes. So this brings us to Threadripper stuff. And Threadripper, it was fully detailed, all that kind of stuff. So the
nearly even available for purchase.
Yeah, 10th. You can pre-order now.
Yeah.
And they'll be available on the... They'll ship out on the 10th. So.
And this is something you can actually buy.
And one thing we already knew about the 1950X. That's the current, that will be the flagship part. That's a 16 core 32 thread part, and it's 3.4 gigahertz stock, and it'll boost up to 4.0 gigahertz at $1,000. And then
not really a gaming part. Remember that.
Correct.
Yeah. Not really gaming speeds.
And then we'll move down to the 1920X, which we had already known about and we've talked about as well. This is 12 core 24 thread, 3.5 gigahertz boost to 4 gigahertz, and this is $799. And then the new one that was announced, which is the more value part, is the 1900X, and it's 8 core 16 thread, 3.8 gigahertz boost to 4 gigahertz, and that's $549. So $549 to get into high-end desktop, pretty good, I feel.
Very good.
And especially if you're doing certain things, especially when it comes to encoding, these kind of perform better than Intel parts in some respects.
I was like, well, let's wait and see, but they've got a pretty good selection of benchmarks there.
Yes.
Pretty wide variety.
And they were
pretty accurate last time.
Yes.
So I would guess that these are all probably accurate benchmarks.
Yeah, and like they test... You know, like an i9-7900X, which currently sits at $1,000, against the Ryzen 1920X, which is the $799 part. And the only thing that it beats it Only thing that the Core i9 beats it at is Premiere Pro, and I assume that's encoding. And it only beats it 5%. By 5%. Yeah. And again, this is $200 cheaper. You know.
Yeah. So you gotta be really. Your time really has to be money for you to choose the Intel part over it, I think.
Yeah.
If this stays, if this stays across the board for all benchmarks.
Yes, and these. Again, the first two parts, the 1950X and 1920X, are already available for pre-order, and they will ship out August 10th. The cheaper 549 port, the 1900X, will be available August 31st. I don't know when you're going to be able to pre-order, if you are, you know, when that will start, but it'll be available August 31st. So,
I would think soon, because the 31st is, I mean, at least within a couple weeks of the 31st, so I would say... What, a week or two for pre-order?
Yeah, a week or two. So Threadripper's here. It's you know, pretty much here.
Sweet. And you know, excited. If you know, if you want it, you've probably been waiting for it.
So. Yeah, and one thing that wasn't announced in that announcement came a couple days later is the cache sizes.
Yeah.
For these parts, it's kind of what a lot of people wanted to know. Cache sizes and TDPs, those are kind of important.
Yeah.
So the cache sizes. I gotta find this.
38 and 40.
Yeah. So, for the 1920, yeah, for the 1920X, it's 38 megabytes, and for the 1950X, it's 40 megabytes of cache. And then the TDPs on both of those chips are 180 watts. We don't know any of the cache or the TDPs on the 1900X, but 180 watts is getting up there.
That's quite a few wattages.
Yeah,
it's a lot of cash too, actually.
That is a lot of cash. And one thing you have to remember is that I believe all of these chips give you 64 lane PCI Express bus,
mm-hmm.
which is very important for doing either dual graphics cards or like a lot of other devices, a lot of M.2s and stuff. You have to get them to run at their full speed.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the biggest reasons we get into this.
Now, AMD's, you know, the X399 platform has seemed like it's just has everything. Like I said, it has that all of those PCI Express lanes. Like it has everything. Like it is a true high-end desktop platform. But it has been reported by Tom's Hardware, which is a very credible source, and I'm sure they've tested it, is that if you want to raid NVMe SSDs, which a lot of people are doing now because you get incredible performance, incredible performance out of it. Yeah. You're not able to boot from them, which is a letdown if you're using, say, 2 1-terabyte SSDs and you're just running everything off the... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're running everything off that, and you just want that to be your Windows drive.
Yeah.
It's a little disappointing. And the reason for this is that a Threadripper MCM package, the CPU package... is basically 2 Summit Ridge dies. Basically 2 Ryzen dies together. Mm-hmm. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
And the M.2 slots pull their PCI Express lanes from 2 different dies. So you can't raid them together.
Because it doesn't communicate.
Yeah, because
it doesn't work with the bootloader, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
And this is, they also said this, you could run into some issues with SATA RAID on this as well, because that pulls from both chips. And they said the way you can do it on SATA is that you have to connect your drives to the same controller. So there's 3 controllers, SATA controllers on this. You have to have them connected to all the drives that you want rated and be able to be bootable to be on the same controller, so it's a little confusing.
Yeah, that actually, I think, becomes more problematic. It seems like straightforward, it wouldn't be a problem with the SATA rating because, obviously, why wouldn't I connect the 2 drives? But it's when you go beyond the boot drive where you really start to have the issue in that that's where you're going to be, you know, putting 5, 6 drives together.
Yeah, well, you can...
just a couple for booting.
The thing is that will work fine.
That will work? Okay.
That will work on SATA and both NVMe, but you can't boot from NVMe.
Anything post-boot. So you really shouldn't have a problem with SATA then.
Yeah, SATA will boot fine.
Yeah.
But they have to be on the same controller.
Unless you're trying to do like a 4-drive array.
Yeah.
That could be a problem.
Yeah, so
it's actually not for me, probably not for you, but there's probably people, like, the people that will have issues with this are the ones likely to use this platform. You know, they're the high-end desktop guys that are doing the big arrays.
Yeah.
That's kind of a...
It is a bummer.
100%. Yeah. That's kind of a no-go issue, almost.
Yeah, it's, you know, maybe they'll be able to fix it. I don't believe so, just because of the way,
a software fix would probably be kind of unsatisfactory.
And I don't think it would work either, just for the way that it's set up.
Well, couldn't you tell Windows, tell the bootloader to check both?
I don't know if they're able to communicate like that, though. Honestly, I don't. Yeah. Like, from what I've read, it doesn't seem like it's possible.
It seems like it would be really expensive.
I think it's just because this, and there, we didn't cover it, but there have been a lot of Intel saying things about Threadripper, saying these are just two dies. An Intel rep literally said this is two Ryzen CPUs glued together.
Yeah.
And that might be the reason why this one thing doesn't work, is because that's technically really what this is. When the Intel chips are not two lower-end parts put together, they're not.
Yeah, it's one die.
Yeah, it's one die. So that's... This could be the one thing that has an issue with this platform, and because of that specific design,
right? I would say this is probably the one thing that we know right now.
Yeah, correct. There could be issues in the future.
Yeah.
But this is the one that we know and that's out there, and this could be a no-go for some people.
Yeah. I could see this being a potential programming headache. It'll all depend on how AMD builds them, I guess, on the software side, like how they process information. But it seems like, from a programming point of view, like making sure that it's running, that it's tasking the full, you know, processor, all cores, when they're not actually one processor, seems like that could be...
Yeah.
Like, you could potentially have issues there.
Yeah, so we'll have to see as this platform, as it gets out there in the hands of more people, and we have more people using it and testing it, if there's more issues that revolve around the design of the CPU, really. You know, this is the first one that we know about, and so, yeah, it
seems like it should be a non-issue. I mean, it's an issue with this, which this could really be an issue, but... seems like it should be mostly a non-issue. I don't think this is gonna like crush it, right?
No, I don't believe, because again, there is a use case for it.
You can work around it.
A lot of the X399 boards, especially the high-end ones, have more than that usually have at least three M.2s on them.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture you used this board.
Yeah, it, so
it's got
that
another
one has
PCI Express lane or slot in there.
Yeah, so it has three on the board, and I believe, I don't know if that one comes with the extra, they have an extra PCI Express.
Oh, like a riser.
Yeah, riser card that has two more. I know some Asus boards as well has that. So, you know, you could get a 256 gig M.2 and then have your two 1 terabytes like that.
I mean, that turns into a headache sometimes, though.
Yeah, it does, because, you know, you just want everything on one drive, right? And then when you, like, oh, I want my, you know, like, my Adobe suite all on the C drive, like, you know what I mean? It's just
I mean, there's people that will say both ways, but that, you know, a lot of people will say don't run stuff off your Windows drive. It slows things down. True or not, probably true. You can't deny the fact that having multiple drives like that in that situation it's another step and another thing to remember, and maybe a headache if a program starts auto installing or saving stuff.
Yeah, totally. 100%. So it's just something to think about if you are looking at this platform. We have linked to Tom's hardware article if you want to read more about it. But it's definitely an issue, and it will affect some people. So
yeah, I'm still looking at this Aorus Gaming 7 board, and like, I want it.
Yeah, well, I'm reviewing one that's very similar.
That's a good looking board right there.
Yeah, very, very similar, which we'll talk about at the end of this podcast.
Right on.
Moving out of AMD, because that's all we talked about, pretty much. Razer has finally made RGB LED strips. And these are called the Hardware Development Kit, or HDK. And basically, it's an RGB LED strip, or two. It comes with two 250 millimeter strips, I believe. Power cable. It has an internal connection if you want to connect it internally. It has an external power if you want to connect it externally, which is cool. I like that. The thing that's really great about this kit is that you can control each LED on the strip. You cannot do that with other.
No.
And it's all controllable through the Razer Synapse software. So if you do have a Razer keyboard and Razer mouse, and then you put these inside your system, you could match all of your LEDs to do the same thing, which I like. You know, we see, and this kit is not cheap. It is $80.
Yeah. I was gonna say it's way too expensive.
Yeah, but there's no kit out there that has this ability.
Yeah, I just don't know if people care.
Yeah, I don't think they do. I think that.
I don't know, like, single LED, yeah, you can probably do some cool stuff, but
I like that it connects with software.
Yeah.
I like that, because
it's external, that's cool.
Yeah, you could do it internally or externally, and it has the connections for both. I like that.
250 millimeter 2 inches. That's not that long, is it? It's only 10 inches.
What are you looking at?
The length of the strips.
50 centimeters, 19.6 inches.
What did you say it was? I thought you said it was 250 millimeters.
No, 50 centimeters.
Oh, okay.
Which is almost 20 inches.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's not too bad.
So you get two of those, and then you can buy the extensions, which are $28.99.
Oh, those don't come with it.
No, those come with it. You get two with it.
Oh, you can get more.
You can get more.
Kit. Okay,
yeah.
Extender cable, another 11 inches. Hmm. Interesting. It's another product available for, you know, it's another option, right?
I think it's a good option for people who want to match all of their stuff.
Yeah. I think yeah.
Again, there's no one universal that will do everything. And this is getting close. The only thing is that if Razer teams up with a motherboard manufacturer to make Synapse the RGB software, then you would have everything, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. But you'd have to buy a Razer keyboard.
Yes.
Which is kind of a tough pill to swallow.
Some of them are good. I actually like the one I had for a while.
For some people, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm using one. I'm just saying, like,
I do think this will give you a cooler RGB experience, because you can do it on your computer and you'll have a better effect. Instead of just like maybe blue, I can do, you know, like a cascading effects and all that kind of cool stuff you can do on your keyboard, you'll be able to do with this.
Can you do that with say NZXT strips?
I'm not sure. I've never used them.
Pretty sure.
Okay.
Not 100% positive. And yeah, you have to be able to, because you can go on Amazon and you can get like $10 kits that are like a long, like 20 feet.
Yeah.
And then they come with a controller and you can do all sorts of stuff like that with them.
Yeah, you can do that, but it's not like,
not connected. No, that's not in the software or.
Yeah, so everything is pre-programmed in those.
Yeah, I'm just speaking to the strips themselves. And
yeah, because I've been researching RGB LED strips. Yes. Because we are doing, we don't really talk about it on the podcast, but we're doing an ultimate RGB setup series, or whatever you want to call it. Not only building a new PC, but we're doing desk and all kinds of stuff. Nice. So I've been researching different RGB LEDs and how to do it the way that I want to do it on this desk, and how we're going to do all that. But that's in the future. But yeah, so these are, I think these are cool, and I think Razer fans are going to love these. And I feel that they're much easier to set up than a kit you'd buy off of Amazon or eBay.
Yeah.
Just for the fact you plug them in, you go in the software, you can visually see what you want, you hit save, and it does it. You know?
Yeah.
But they are expensive. I would say this is, if you are any type of a tech person and you know how to do stuff, you can buy kits off Amazon or eBay for very, very cheap and get close to the same effect.
Second generation maybe of this, or actually this will probably spur some innovations with maybe other companies that are doing this sort of thing already, and maybe we'll have that full control, and then it'll be, you know, then maybe you want to buy the kit because it's just easier.
Yes.
So I probably wouldn't buy this one.
I would not, just for the fact that I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. So, but it is available, and they look good. So, okay, you can't argue with adding light to anything, really. I would say it just looks good.
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
So talking about something that we both want that we can never afford is Lianli finally made available their DK05 motorized adjustable PC desk. We took a look at this in person at CES, and it is awesome. Basically, a full aluminum desk that is a PC chassis as well and holds two systems with room for everything, like dual 480 racks, mm-hmm. tons of water cooling. The top part of the desk has a window in it, so you can see all of your components under your desk. Again, this is height adjustable, so you can move it up or down. And I've talked about standing desks on this podcast. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
This is the ultimate thing. It also has the ultimate price tag of basically $2,100, which sort of makes sense and sort of. I mean, it is all aluminum, so that's a lot of aluminum.
Oh, I'm sure the cost is like,
and it's all well brushed. Justified. It's all brushed aluminum. Standing desks aren't cheap. The one I have that I'm sitting at, which is a little bit smaller than this, I think the retail on it is $549, and this one's bigger.
Yeah.
You know, actually,
and it's
much
got
bigger.
A giant piece of tempered glass on it.
Yeah, and this actually has some cool stuff too. So it has fan hubs that where you can adjust, or actually these are light hubs, I believe, in the front.
Mm.
Those knobs that you control, and there's RGB LEDs in the front.
Oh, cool.
And then you get USB ports, USB Type C. There's an HDMI port in the front if you have a VR headset.
Smart.
Yeah, it's sick. I want one of these. Lianli, can you send me one, please?
Yeah, yeah.
Send Derek one as well.
Finish this one out well. Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll review the crap out of these.
No, I saw this at CES. It was the biggest thing that they had at their little booth at CES, and it is just I mean, they're just their cases in general. If you've ever seen or been close to or been able to touch a Lianli case, the quality is amazing, and this desk would be the exact same.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah, I wonder though how many of these Newegg intends to how many do they think they're going to sell at $2,100.
I don't know. I think these are a lot of like, we're gonna do this ultimate setup deal, or I'm a hardcore, like I'm a crazy streamer gamer making a ton of money off Twitch, and I want to have one PC be my gaming PC, the other PC be my streaming PC. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that.
It's cool.
Or somebody who is building a Threadripper or X99, and they want this ultimate desk, you know. I'm going to have my two systems in here, or I'm going to have one ultimate system in here, like whatever you
yeah.
You know.
All the cooling and everything, yeah.
Yeah, so.
This could also be like one Threadripper rig where like one of the CPUs on the die is on one side, right? And one is on the other?
That would be funny. Like, or you could just do two Ryzen systems, right?
Oh, okay. Because that's what a Threadripper is. Yeah. Now, can you boot a dual Ryzen system off of rated NVMe drives?
No.
Shit.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. But yeah, this is just a great desk, and it's I wish I had one for sure.
Yeah, it's
so
cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. So we have all the pictures, and if you want to check it out, it's really awesome. And if you just Google DK05 Think Computers, the video should come up from CES, so check it out.
They actually have a simple name for it too.
Yeah, all of the most of their cases are like PCO something or whatever, and the desk is obviously DK whatever. So that rounds up our news for this week. A lot of AMD stuff, which has seemed to be the kind of thing for the past few weeks. But that brings us to what we have coming up next week, and the first thing I'll be taking a look at is Giel's Evo X DDR4 memory, and this is RGB memory. So it has the light tube in the top, and it works with all of the motherboard software. So Asus, I don't even know what there's things called. And MSI Mystic lights, you have your gigabytes, like it works with all of those. Yeah. And you can plug it into RGB headers, like you can do all kinds of stuff. So,
you know, I mean, obviously that works, but it's not nearly as cool as just controlling it through the slot.
Yeah, so this is a little bit older. They sent us these. They're I believe they're working on new ones. But these, so they have two operation modes. So one, they have like a power source mode where you connect a little wire and you connect it to like a fan header on your motherboard. And then that will just cycle through colors. That's all it does. And then you have an RGB power option where it comes with an RGB splitter. And then you can connect that to an RGB header on a controller, say like the NZXT controller, or you can put it directly on your motherboard, which I did for my testing. So you can match what's going on with your motherboard with the memory directly, which I do like. The only issue with that is you do have this cable, which is easy to hide. It's not is hard it? To hide, but it's not the most optimal setup. But one thing that's good about this is that, you know, for Z170, right, a lot of motherboards did not have RGB headers. And if you're still on Z170 or you just only have money to buy to get into Z170, right, this would be a way to get RGB memory that will work with your motherboard.
It's true.
Or would work in your system, per se, because if your motherboard does not support RGB in any way, you could connect this to the NZXT thing. You know what I mean? So that's where I see this is. And there's a lot of people who still have a Z170 system, or might even just be buying a Z170 system now because that's what, just what they can afford.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm in the hardware swap subreddit all the time, and people are looking for Z170 stuff.
Yeah.
You know, makes sense. So yeah, and like I said, they look really good. This is a good like looking. You'll see in the review that this memory does look good. And it looks really, really cool because I was able to match it with my motherboard lights. So all the lights are the same, or they're pulsing the same, and it just looks really cool. It looks like one solid piece. It doesn't look like my memory is doing something, my motherboard's doing something else. Everything looks together, so it's cool.
The first time I saw lighted memory, I was like, "Well, that's obviously what you must have."
Yeah. Yeah, so
it really does bring things together.
Yeah, so checking out that, and we're checking out a DDR4 3216 gig kit, and then you talked about that X399 port, from Aorus. I will be taking a look at our second X299 port. It's the Aorus Gaming 9, and this thing is a beast. This is the highest end Aorus X299 board available. It has everything.
Nice.
It has three-year M.2s plus a riser card that gives you another one. And that riser card looks awesome. It has a heatsink on it that has the Aorus logo on it. It just looks cool. It has everything. It literally has everything that you'd want.
I love that heatsink in that it's got that piece of probably acrylic. Is it acrylic? It looked like it was acrylic from the side.
Yes, it is.
And then it's got stuff etched on the top of it, like... That looks so good, so much better than just putting LEDs in it. Like,
and if you look at that, if you look at the PCH heatsink, the bottom part is actually an M.2 drive that's covered.
I wondered that too.
Yeah, so
is that a little heatsink for it?
Yeah, so isn't that cool that they kind of make it look like one piece instead of having just an empty M.2 there?
Is the back panel for the in-out for the I/O cover that's well lit as well? I see. Is that acrylic too?
Yes, it's well lit, and it comes on the board. Asus started to do this with their higher end boards. It comes on the board, so you don't have to install it.
Does it fit well then?
Well, I have it in a I have it on a test bench, so I'm not specifically sure. But I've never heard like with the Asus ones when they came out. I've never heard of an issue.
Yeah.
I'm
just picturing, because normally, you know, you put it in, especially with an Asus one, I'm thinking of, and it's got a bunch of padding, and you really push the board into it.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, it's snug, and it's in there well, so I'm just curious how this
I assume this goes in
with
well.
A case. I'm sure it's good.
Yeah, I assume this goes in well. This, like, literally has everything. Killer Double Shot Pro, which is awesome, wireless. So it's 2x2, 802.11 AC wireless. plus a LAN port, and then you have Intel LAN as well. You have a crazy audio on this. You have like all the LEDs you want. Every PCI Express slot is lit up. All of the DDR4 slots are lit up. The PCH heatsink lights up. The rear I/O lights up. The rear I/O cover, as well as the audio components cover, lights up. And I believe there's at least, I don't know how many RGB headers there are. I know there's at least two, if not more, on this. It has everything, believe me. Yeah, I'm really excited to tell you guys even more about it. I mean, I went over all of the main features, but wait until you see the review of all the pictures of it lit up and everything. It just has it all. So really, really cool board. And it's cool because just like with that MSI board, we reviewed two previous generations of the MSI, their SLI Plus boards. This is the third generation we've checked out of their gaming nines. So we looked at previous to this, we looked at the Aorus Z270 gaming nine. Mm-hmm. And then before that, we looked at the before they did the name change for Aorus, the Gigabytes G1 gaming board, which is pretty much the X99 version of this board. So we kind of see this. It's cool that we've previously checked those out because we get to see the progression of these boards and features that they've added and the features that we love that they've kept as well. So
yeah, just they can do. Yeah, they continue to do.
Yeah, it's cool to see the growth of a specific product, because I hate every year. We saw it for a while as you know, a bunch of different companies are kind of changing names around and things like that. Of like what you know, like a series you love, and see that series continue to go on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah. And then finally, I'll be taking a look at a air cooler. This is the Sith Muggin 5 or Mugen Muggin. I don't know how you actually say Muggin.
I always said Muggin.
Yeah. And it's been out for a while, but it is a solid high performance air cooler. So if you're looking at this, maybe a Noctua, maybe like a high performance, either maybe Cooler Master or something like that, this might be one that you're looking at. So pretty excited to check that out and see what it can do.
Now, is it compatible with Threadripper?
No.
Shoot.
It is compatible with Ryzen. You have to request a
adapter kit.
If adapter kit is free, you just have to go on their forums and request one. That's it. But
gotcha.
Has everything that you
want. Wait, did you say go on their forum?
That's what it says.
Oh wow.
I was actually looking at that because I wanted to test it. And you have to go on their form, which seems pretty active, actually.
Huh.
You have to go on their form and request a AM4 kit for it.
Interesting.
Yes. But that is what's coming up next week. So three exciting reviews. Like I said, trying to pump up the reviews for you guys, as well as do a lot of video stuff. Did some really cool video stuff today, which we will get to in the future, obviously. And this brings us to the end of the podcast, where we talk about things we did this week, or you know, anything like anything exciting tech wise. What's going on in your world, Derek?
You know what? Nothing really.
Nothing.
Yeah, it was pretty. Just
no new movies.
Nothing.
Or...
No, I mean, nothing really worth talking about.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
You always have something. I'm the one who usually doesn't have anything.
I did some stuff. It's just nothing. Nothing I really feel like is worth talking about, I guess.
Yeah, well, I did some interesting stuff. Well, not super interesting. This weekend in Pittsburgh was the Red Bull Flutog,
which I learned about today from you.
Yes. So basically, what it is people create sort of like makeshift planes, not planes,
gliders,
but like gliders, and they set up this thing in the middle, well, here in Pittsburgh, in the middle of the river, which is like this big stage where people kind of, you run these things off of the stage, and it's all for a good cause and all that, and it's a lot of fun. It brings a lot of people out. And I was there, and one of my couple of my friends were on a team that did it, so we got like these behind the behind the scenes passes and stuff. So we got to kind of go wherever we wanted, and I had the chance to check out this really awesome drone. It's like a $100,000 drone. Nice. That Red Bull was using, and they were actually live streaming from this drone. It's huge, and they said that just the camera alone was $60,000. It was
That's awesome.
It was awesome.
It's the real deal.
yeah, it was. I just wanted to pick it up and just walk away. And it's really interesting is that this. I assume this was custom made. They didn't have a lot of time to talk to the guys about it, but they had like 20 or 30 batteries charging for it. It looked like it fit like 6 batteries at a time or something. Yeah. It was really interesting how they had it set up. Sort of a
carrier.
Yeah, it was
an adapter pack thing to keep it.
Yeah, it was cool.
A little bit longer.
That was really cool to see, and just the whole event was cool. And like the regatta is this weekend. It's still going on today. I think it's probably closing up right now. But the regatta is like something happens every year in Pittsburgh with just like boat races and water sports and all kinds of stuff. So that's what I was doing all weekend.
Nice.
And then finally, I got into a really good show on Netflix, and I watched the entire thing, which doesn't happen often. Watched the entire run of the first season. It's called Ozark. And it's really good. It's one of the best shows I've watched in a very long time.
Nice.
If you have Netflix, you can check it out. It's really, really good.
Well, what is it?
The premise basically is that this guy had been laundering money for a drug dealer, and the drug dealer comes in and kills his partner because his partner was stealing and he didn't know anything about it. So the way he in the this drug dealer that's like maybe massive like was about to kill him, and he somehow had this brochure for this place called the Ozarks, which is like this lake in I forget where it's at, but it's like, you know, like in the middle of nowhere,
Arkansas
or something. It's like in the Midwest or wherever.
No, it's like south. I've heard of it. It's a big, actually, fishing destination.
Yeah, so it's huge. And yeah, he said,
it's massive.
And the way he gets out of it is that he says that he had been looking to do this so he could do what he was doing in Chicago there, like that he could do it. He could launder money faster and do it better at this place, right?
Yeah.
So, this drug dealer is like, okay, I'll let you do it. And the whole season is about him trying to get into the community and obviously buy businesses to launder money. And it's really good. It's really, really good. So it's worth checking out.
Check
for sure.
It out. Yeah. Oh, it's in Missouri.
Yeah. But I forget the guy's name who's in it. Let me see. I'm sure you'll know as soon as I say his name. Let's see. I think it's
Jason Bateman.
Yeah, Jason Bateman. Yeah, he's gotcha. The main character. I mean, he's a great actor. I think.
Yeah.
And he plays this character really well, so it's good.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, so definitely worth checking out the entire season. You can binge watch it like I did.
nice.
For sure. So, that is it for the podcast, guys. As I always tell you. We have our full show notes page that's linked here, you know, that you can go ahead and check out. So as we talk about the different news articles or our reviews, you can click through and get even more information. And all of your favorite podcasting software, iTunes, whatever, just Think Computers, all one word, and you'll be able to find our podcast, listen to previous episodes, all of that fun stuff. So until next week, catch you guys later.